we look at the third reading that the church has in this block of seven. And it's a way, it's the linchpin. It's the story of the Exodus. Almost all the key words coming from Paul to describe the work of the cross come from the book of Exodus and come mostly from this incident at the Red Sea. And that's why Paul uses it. And this is for him, as you know, you see, this is the baptism, water. Go through the water and be free of all the marauding drives around you and in you that could kill you. That's what baptism is. We are joined, as the text will say. You know, when we get there in the next section after we do these readings, then we'll do the Easter readings next time. But as many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, from Galatians. This text, therefore, is very interesting, you see. It starts in verse 15. So we've heard now that, you know, they're closing in, and the Lord says to Moshe, "Why are you crying out to me? I've already told you what to do. You see that water there? Just go through it." Did you ever try that? Suppose God said to you, "You see that river there? You know, it's a quarter of a mile wide and it's 40 feet deep. Now I want you to walk through it. Don't stand there." The rabbis have a great lesson. They say, you know, sometimes we're supposed to have long prayers. Sometimes we're supposed to have short prayers. Here, God says, short prayer. Get walking through that water. You see? And they're saved that way. And so the text says, you see, the Lord said to Moshe, "Why are you crying out to me? I've already told you what to do. Walk right through that river." You see? "Tell the Israelites to go forward. And you lift up your staff, and with hand outstretched over the sea, split the sea in two, that the Israelites may pass through it on dry land. But I will make the Egyptians so obstinate that they will go in after them. Then I will receive kavod, glory, through Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots and his charioteers. The Egyptians shall know, Ani Adonai, I am the Lord, when I receive glory through Pharaoh and his chariots and charioteers." People will find out now who's the strongest. This poor little fellow who's going to be dead in a few years thinks he's running the universe. He can kill people anytime he wants. How many world leaders have found themselves in dire straits, I hope not hell, because this is what they think. And so the first lesson we learn from this text is, look, God runs the universe, nobody else. No president, no prime minister, no dictator, no army general. God runs the universe. And this is one of the signs of it. But it also, as Paul uses over and over again, right? This is baptism, going through the water. As Jesus went through the waters of death, into the very depth of the dark waters of death, and rose again. We go down into the water, still the best way to do it, and come up new. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, just acted. You could go dunk yourself in water the rest of your life, but if it's not the sacrament of baptism, you're just going to get wet. Nothing's going to happen. But this one, as we'll see when we get there. And so, you see, the angel of God who had been leading Israel's camp now moved and went around behind them. The column of cloud, which has been with them all the time, the Aman, leading the front, took up his place behind them so that it came between the camp of the Egyptians and that of Israel. But the cloud now became dark, and thus the night passed without the rival camps coming any closer together all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea with a strong east wind through the night, so that it turned into dry land. When the water was thus divided, the Israelites marched into the midst of the sea on dry land, with the water like a wall to their right and to their left. This is going through the waters of death untouched. Why? Because Jesus, first at his baptism and then at his death, went through the waters of death and joined us to himself, so that we die to being dominated by evil. We die being dominated by Pharaoh, that is Satan. We are free. And we are so free that if we ever realize it and we're grateful enough, we wouldn't sin anymore. This is so beautiful. We're free, and we have the power to stay free by the power of the cross. You see, the Egyptians followed in pursuit. All Pharaoh's horses and charioteers went after them right into the midst of the sea. Now remember, this is one of the texts you have to read on this night. You see, to try to give us a visual interior understanding of what happened to us, even if we were only that big at baptism. It was a direct, miraculous act of God, freeing us from darkness and giving us his own divine light. And this is the text that all the preachers mention and develop, because standing in front of them in almost every parish church in the world will be a whole group of people who are going to go through the Red Sea and come out the other side, saved and part of Israel. It's very interesting that the prayer that follows this reading speaks of how these people have just entered into Israelitica dignitas. They have now become part of the Israelite dignity, the dignity of Israel. They are part of it now, the new Israel. Listen on Holy Saturday and you'll hear it. If he says there's two prayers, if he says that prayer, the priest. Okay. In the night watch, just before dawn, the Lord cast through the column of fiery cloud upon the Egyptians a glance. That's all it took. Threw it into a panic. And he so clogged their chariot wheels they could hardly drive. With that, the Egyptians sounded the retreat before Israel, because the Lord, Adonai, was fighting for them against the Egyptians. That's why we win, my friends. That's why we win, because the Lord is fighting for us. Even if we're bereft or seem to be bereft like Abraham, even if we're suffering, you see, God is there freeing us from darkness. And if we'll let him, taking us right through the whole of the baptismal promises and the baptismal process, which ends with our death when we pass from this world right into God. And that's possible. If somebody was, you know, is driving home, was just been baptized that night, after a life of 40 or 50 years of ordinary life, an ordinary sin, an ordinary whatever, ordinary, even extraordinary sin, and he dies, he goes straight to heaven. He hasn't had time to commit any more sins. He's purified by the power of the act of love in which Jesus died and passed through these waters of death himself. He prefigured them himself at his own baptism. He went down into that water and came up again, strengthened, and now the servant of God in a new and powerful way. And so are we, you see. So Moses stretched out his hands over the sea, and at dawn the sea flowed back to its normal depth, and the Egyptians were trying to get out of it. Not a single one of them escaped, but the Israelites had marched on dry land through the midst of the sea, with the water like a wall to their right and to their left. And then, and this is the key line, Thus Adonai saved Israel on that day from the power of the Egyptians. It's not just that they're free, it's that they'll never be under that power again unless they will it. You are free with the freedom with which God, Christ, the text says already in Galatians, Christ has freed you, therefore serve one another. But stay free. You don't have to sin. You can be free. What a grace. And if we just let the Lord work in our lives, we'll be freer and freer and freer. That's a promise. This is baptism. It seems to be so innocuous. Go down into the water, come up out of the water. In some places, just pour a little water on your head, but I hope most of them, they get some way to go into water. And all your sins are blotted out. No joke. You stepped out of that water and had a heart attack, whoop, you'd go right to heaven. You are free with the freedom that Christ has freed you for. Okay. Thus the Lord saved Israel on that day from the power of the Egyptians. And he saves us by baptism, and the continual application of baptism through the Eucharist, so that we are free of the power of Satan. We don't have to be dominated by him, no matter how hard he works through the culture, no matter how much junk is going through the TV, no matter how many people are getting divorced, no matter how many tricky things the government tries, we are free. So long as we are free of sin, we are free. What a wonderful thing. You see, that's the gift of God. And that's what we celebrate on this Easter vigil, you see. And so, when Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the seashore and beheld the great power that the Lord had shown against them, they feared the Lord, and they believed in him and in his servant Moses. They're not going to do a great job with this belief. They start complaining all the time. Where's the bread? How can we eat? We wish we were back in Egypt. But at that moment, they believed. It's funny, isn't it? Because there's a very interesting text. It's in John 2:12. And his disciples believed in him after the first miracle. They believed in him. You see? And so then comes the song. Let us sing to the Lord. He has covered himself in glory. I will sing to the Lord, for he is gloriously triumphant. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. That's my sins. I can go join the Egyptian army again if I want to, or I can be a slave, really, to Egypt again, but I don't have to. I have just been, and on that night, when the adults are baptized, they go right from there to eat the eternal manna, the flesh of Christ, to drink the wine of eternity, the blood of Christ. The angels are in awe at that moment, but we're kind of dumb. We don't really get it. Or, if you're in a parish that doesn't have, we renew our vows. And the Lord takes that seriously. I now consider you baptized again if you really mean you renounce sin and start to believe in me again. Really do it. And so that's the key passage of the Paschal Vigil in these seven initial readings.